Saskatchewan, it's time to talk sports. The all-new Sports Cage is on the air. Be part of the show. Call 936-6262 or toll free 1-866-767-0620. And we're always online at sportscage.com. 620 CKRM.
Welcome back, Saskatchewan. Back inside the all-new Sports Cage. Barney Shinkerick, Maz McFly here on this Monday. If you missed it in hour one, nice interview with Regina Rebel national champ striker Zablocki. We also had Farhan Lalji come in, talk NHL, more specifically the Vancouver Canucks, and he's on his way to the CFL draft. Hey, Maz, we're on our way to Notre Dame on Thursday. Big day. It's a Hounds thing day, biggest fundraising day of the year. We are hoping to have joining us on the Sports Cage Jaden Schwartz, Gary Lehman, Barry Trotz, although Barry might not be in a good mood.
Yeah.
And Sasky legend Wendell Clark. So
it'll be interesting. And if he wants to talk about it, Stanley Cup champion Jaden Schwartz played the past couple of years with the Seattle Kraken, and earlier today, and we're going to have Eric Francis on in a second, we'll get to that. Dave Haxtell, coach of the Seattle Kraken, fired. And I get it. You're a player. You're under contract and you're with the team, and you may not want to share anything, but after 3 years, what was he? He was 107, 112, and 27 OT losses or whatever. Not great. Maybe they overachieved last year. So looking forward to Thursday when we're going to be in Wilcox. You can donate right now. It's giving.notredame.ca if you want to donate to the Hounds Fund this afternoon. Maybe you have before you hop in the vehicle on your way home.
That's right. Big day for Notre Dame. All right, let's go out on the Western Pizza Hotline. It's time for our Monday chat with a guy who we learned a lot about him and Brad Paisley last week and all that. And then he learned about the moose leg in Flin Flon. So it was a week of learning, wasn't it, Eric Francis?
It was a wonderful exchange of information. I learned a little bit about you guys. We laughed, we cried. There was so much in it. So let's do it again today.
What?
But there's a caveat. You sent me an email earlier today telling me about your golf score. And I got some pretty strict rules about that. Like, I thought by now everybody knew that nobody cares about another man's golf score, ever. And I appreciate you sharing, and we're getting to know each other. And, you know, knowing, you know, that you shot 107 and all that, that helps me a lot understand what kind of athlete you are. But that's right up there with, like, putting vacation photos on Twitter. Like, there's no way, there's no better way to make people unfollow you than by sharing golf information. Even my wife, look, I learned one thing. When she says, how was your golf game, you get one answer. And all it is fine, thanks. That's all. You don't go into the third hole. You made this great shot. Nobody cares. But anyway, congratulations. 107 is pretty good for your first time out.
Oh, man. Is it over for Nashville?
I don't think so. Not at all. I thought they were the better team last game, to be honest. They're facing a team that's playing their third string goalie. No, I don't think it's over for Nashville at all. Like, I mean, obviously it's not good being down 3-1, but, you know, you go in and steal a game in Vancouver and there's a whole different complexion in there, especially if Vancouver's goaltending doesn't get healthier, which it's not going to. So I don't think that one's over at all. No, I think there's other series that look a little closer to being over than that one, that's for sure.
What do you know about the Vancouver goalie? Did you know much about him going in? What is it, Silvosh or...
Yeah, I know nothing about him. I'll be honest. He didn't play all year with the team. The big story out of Vancouver this year early on was, A, how great their third line was, like this incredible, the production out of their third line, but also that Casey DeSmith had kind of resurrected, or at least, you know, kind of started his career, you know, with a really good year. He was a really, really nice story there. When he went down, and it sounds like he's still a possibility for even the next game, but yeah, the fact that there's a goalie in the playoffs that no one's heard of, that's a scary thing to, and an amazing thing to overcome, and good on Vancouver for doing it.
Well, when they announced, they're like, uh-oh, and I saw before the game, Casey DeSmith is going to be out just this game. He could be back. It's a thing. And then the guy, and it's funny, and when they brought him on, they're like, oh, he won the World Championships for Latvia last year. And you're like, okay. And then he kind of, I just knew, Eric, when they scored that third goal with 6 seconds left, that was the pin in the balloon for Nashville in that game anyways. Because I thought if the Canucks, you know, come out and grab a goal early here, it's going to be bad. Probably the biggest story, and I wanted, because your phone must blow up anytime, and you, everything that's going on with the Toronto Maple Leafs and the comic sensation of the lip reading on the bench from Saturday's game and the loss to the Boston Bruins and just the shambles that they're in. It's kind of nice to be like, oh man, I am so glad I'm not part of that fan base. Is this not one of the best dumpster fire stories of 2024? Especially in hockey, or can the Leafs normally? How can they top themselves with all of their other playoff failures? They managed a way to find a new level or a new low.
Fight each other,
and well, and the rest of the country loves watching it.
Yes,
and it's entirely predictable that it would be a dumpster fire. Just we never knew, you know, who was going to throw the gasoline on top of it, right? I mean, and so now it's Nylander ripping into Marner, or was he ripping into Matthews? And what was he saying? I was with you. I watched that clip. Maybe, you know, I kept watching it on a repeat on Twitter there. Like, what is he saying? Is he like, stop crying, bro? This isn't Junior. Either way, there's clearly, you know, visible frustration, which is understandable. But the fact that, you know, Matthews is sick and Nylander's has got headaches and migraines, and like, it's just a colossal. No one could have predicted how they were going to collapse, but everyone could have predicted that they would collapse. And so everybody outside of the greater Toronto area gets exactly what they wanted, and that is, you know, disarray in Toronto. And because of it, it's going to affect my life. So you're talking about lighting up my phone. Now, one of the many storylines that come out of the season is, you know, well, obviously Marner's got to go. They've obviously got to break up the core four. And I don't disagree with either one of those statements. You know, Brad Sherlivy's got a hell of a task on his hands. Don't be surprised if he doesn't break up the core four. He didn't do it when he arrived, when everyone said that he had to. But the narrative is going to be Marner to pretty much any city in the NHL over the summer for trade rumors. And, of course, Calgary will be on that list. They'll say, well, Toronto needs a goalie. So maybe they could trade for Markstrom, and then the Flames would get Marner, which would make no sense to anybody on the planet. So I want to stop that rumor right now. I'm not going to be able to stop it, but I'm going to put that one right where it belongs, in the trash bin, because the Flames don't have a room or interest in a Mitch Marner.
Joining us on the Western Pizza Hotline, Eric Francis, social media etiquette coach. When I look at the league, okay, maybe I'm crazy here, but you know what I thought when Mitch Marner looks like an absolute, you know, 8-year-old kid throwing his gloves off and all that? I think, well, he just played himself off Team Canada for the Olympics in 2 years.
Oh, interesting. I hadn't thought that far ahead.
I go deep, Eric. Golf game, and I look way ahead.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, I'm not saying that I don't think it's that simple, but I think that there may be something to that. His frustration being voiced really does, you know, it's a pockmark on him as they move forward and make tough decisions on who is going to be on Team Canada. I'd have to look at the winger situation for Team Canada again, and Lord knows everyone in Canada is going to do that 1,500 times between now and the next Olympic Games.
Oh, yeah.
To see who else he'd be battling with. But yeah, the competition is going to be fierce. And, you know, he's still going to have a couple of years to prove himself. Listen, we've seen a million times, guys, where a guy's been written off by the media, by social media, by the fans, and said, this guy's done, trade him, he's a bum.
Theo Fleury.
The very next year. Yeah, like... The very next year, he just lights it up. So we've seen this so many times. I'm not ready to kind of discount Mitch Marner and the fact that he won't be able to be. This is a 100-point scorer in the NHL many times. I'm not willing to write him off completely.
Well, on the flip side, of besides the Leafs melting down, and they do love to do this to themselves, I am so impressed. Without Patrice Bergeron, how good is Brad Marchand, all-time, not only the all-time Bruins goal scorer, but now he's up there in NHL. He just keeps getting better and better. Like him, it seems like him himself, he's on a mission to dismantle the Toronto Maple Leafs in this series. He looks outstanding.
Have you ever watched him play live, Maz? Marchand?
No, I don't know if I ever have seen him live.
Unbelievable. Live. Sorry, Eric. Go ahead with Maz's question.
Well, he's a lot. He's so much like Theo Fleury. I mean, he's the closest thing you'll ever see in the NHL to Theo Fleury. Like, but the difference is, this guy made a conscious effort. I remember him saying, you know, shortly after he kissed or licked a player's face, whatever that story was, he did say that he didn't want to be known for that sort of stuff, and he kind of made a concerted effort to curb the nonsense. And I saw the same thing with Matthew Tkachuk. You know, like, I've always thought so highly of Matthew Tkachuk because he can beat you in so many different ways, with his mouth, with his head, with a hit, with a pass, with a goal. And Marchand's the same way, but they both have kind of been clear to the media over the years that they were going to change. No one believed them. But both of them have really toned down the extracurriculars. They use it when it's convenient and when it can help their team, and they both draw a ton of penalties. But you don't see them doing the stupid things that they used to do earlier in their careers. And I think they both really, it's important to both of them that they be known as, ultimately, I think they both want to be known as the Hall of Famers that I think they both are going to be. But they just want to be respected as great players, not just as great storylines. And that's, Marchand's doing that. He's a great storyline on top of it all. And I wasn't sure that guy was leadership material to be the captain, but man, he's leading in every possible way. So I'm 100% with you. He's certainly one of the top five stories of the playoffs so far this year.
Have the Winnipeg Jets completely fallen off a cliff? Can they get it back on track, like against the Avalanche, or is this pretty much a done deal?
Well, Hellebuck's got to play better.
Yeah, Hellebuck's got to play better, but you're playing against a team that a lot of people still think could win the Stanley Cup, right? I mean, I don't think it's necessarily like, oh, the Jets have fallen off a cliff and aren't playing that well or anything like that. It's one of those ones where you got to give all the credit to the Colorado Avalanche for absolutely taking over a series after a first, they lost that first game, but it was still a hell of a game. They got 6 goals. And then since then, they've just shown that they are by far the better team. So no, there's no hope for Winnipeg to come back and win this series. And that's not because Winnipeg's not playing well. It's because Colorado is a juggernaut, man. And Cale Makar is, top 5 player in the National Hockey League, no question about it. Him and Quinn Hughes, 2 best defensemen by a mile in the NHL this year. When he wants to take over a game, it is fun to watch. Like, I don't know, I'll throw it back at you guys. Like, what's the most fun team to watch? I know that we could argue over which series are the most entertaining and best to watch, but to me, Colorado, with the skill of a Makar and the heart and skill of a McKinnon and speed, like, I'm not sure there's a more entertaining team in the league. Can you guys think of one?
Las Vegas, at times.
At times.
Eichel makes it look like a shinny game out there, and he's doing it again. Yeah. And my daughter's wondering why she's not having a birthday party next week. And I said, because Dad put all that money and bet on the Dallas Stars, and now tonight it could be all over.
Listen, sorry, I don't want to cut you off. Stars are still my choice to win the cup.
That's why I took her birthday money. That's why I took that money, because you said.
Well, it makes you a bad dad that you would take my advice and steal your daughter's money. But I'm not giving up on them. I look today just like, I don't gamble online anymore. But if I did have an account, if it wasn't shut off for legal purposes, no, I'm kidding. If it wasn't shut off, I'd double down, because it's 12-1 now for the Stars to win the cup, and I still think that could still happen.
Give Sean Lemon a call and put some action down on that.
on his European on his European sports book. Okay, so here's the thing, Barney. When we don't have to talk so seriously about hockey, I'm going to get Eric to retell a story about, he's talking about being a dad. It was a bit he did on the radio, and I texted him, I'm like, the best thing you did on the radio all year when I heard this was a bit about his family and the dishwasher. We don't have time for it today, but it's an Eric Francis classic. And I loved it. And I texted you specifically about that. So Lightning Panthers. You had brought it up that Matthew Tkachuk has really cleaned up his game. The Lightning thing was nice the other night, but is tonight the night the Panthers finally finish off Coop and the crew? Is Tampa out of gas?
It could be, but Tampa's still a hell of a team, and these have been hell. These have been great games. Like, you know, Tampa's still a damn good team. Like, you know, they got a tough matchup there, obviously, playing against a juggernaut like Florida, but No, I'm not willing to, you know, suggest that that series is, hey, I think it's going to be tough to climb back and win three in a row, no question about it. But, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that Tampa's going out tonight because, you know, with all the firepower they have and the experience and the goaltending, like,
Sergachev back
win tonight. They could easily, yeah, Sergachev back. That's an emotional lift. That helped them a little bit last game. Like, I don't know, guys, like, that is just, that's been my favorite series to watch. The goaltending's been sublime. There's been still lots of goals, even though the goaltending's been good. So many storylines. Like, yeah, Florida is the favorite to win. They always have been. But I also don't buy this whole changing of the guard, and this is the end of the window for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Like, sure, they're not as good as they were when they won two cups in a row. Sure, they're a little older. Sure, they may lose Stamkos this summer. But I still think the base is there, and I still think it's the best coach in all of sport, who's running the show there. So I'm not willing to give up on Tampa tonight in the series or even over the next couple of years.
All right, that's Eric Francis. We get to do it again on Wednesday. In the meantime, I'll send you a couple paragraphs on this buttercut three iron I hit on Saturday. You're going to want to know that story, and Eric will chat with you again on Wednesday.
Please do. And then I'll send photos of my dishwasher, and I'll tell you that.
It's a great story. Like, there's highs and lows and dramatics. There's emotions in it. Like, it's one of the best stories I heard all last year.
I can't wait.
On traditional media, I got to tell you.
I can't wait.
Fantastic.
All right, Eric, have a good night. Oh, you cut him off already. Okay, that's funny. I can't wait for the story now. Like, you hype this up.
If you are now in a family situation, there's always one person that loads the dishwasher.
Yes.
And there's one person that reloads the dishwasher properly. I play that second role of reloading the dishwasher properly so we can get more than four things in. Okay. Everybody else that lives here is on the other team to be like, I'll put in three cups and turn it on. Yeah. That's efficiency to me.
Okay. So you got young kids too. Mine are getting older, but I need to get this through. I unload, I do everything dishwasher. The kids help out once in a while. The problem is they don't do a little pre-rinse. So if it's early in the week and it's sour cream from pierogies or something like that, and they just chuck it in there by Wednesday, if you don't wash that bad boy, that reeks. It's like, no, Gabby or Rome, you gotta give a little pre-rinse here.
Are you kidding me? We can run our dishwasher in this house three times a day. I'm not a word of a lie. It ran four times on Saturday.
Yeah.
There's only five of us.
We're getting texts. We're getting calls here. Unfortunately, the call system isn't working, so you got to text us. 936-6262. John the Habs fan is fired up, Maz. Are you reading any of these? He obviously loving what's the dumpster fire that is the Toronto Maple Leafs as a Habs fan. He's saying, without Demko and DeSmith, the Canucks have no chance if they meet Edmonton. They do have a chance. Edmonton, you know, yeah, they got the two or the best player in the world and then another guy, but there will be a chance there. And how many times have we seen goalies come out of nowhere and get things done in the playoffs? So, John, I know Edmonton will be the favorite there, I think.
Is Stuart Skinner going to turn into what Aiden Hill turned into last year? And there's nothing wrong with the game, the Oiler King game yesterday, but between those two teams, I need more goals. 1-0 games between the Kings and the Oilers. I need more gold. Like when Eric was saying, like Colorado's exciting to watch because when they turn it on, and it just here comes McKinnon here, and it just starts coming.
McCarr.
There's nothing wrong with the game yesterday, other than the fact why are you starting a game at 8:35 on a Sunday night when you could have just rammed everything down earlier in the day? Because if you're in the Eastern Time Zone, and that's all they care about is Eastern Time Zone TV, that's a 10:35 start. So bad on the NHL. 1-0. I
watched part of it while taking an Ice Cube in Moose Jaw. We'll get to that when we talk Moose Jaw, Saskatoon, WHL. It is the Sports Cage, the brand new Sports Cage on the home of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, 620 CKRM.